D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick 102.5, the game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes here with you. Derek Mason will be here at some point. He's stuck in traffic.
He's coming in hot, he says.
He knows the show starts at 3.
I will say this, with our new time zone change, not really a zone change,
time slot change.
It just sounded fancy to say time zone. It does take a little longer on our commute out here than it did when you were coming in at 10:30.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah, so we do have to compensate. We have to change our habits here.
That's fair.
Like, I left way earlier than I normally do.
Oh, there he is.
It's hot. T-Mace, you feel the heat coming
he
in?
He came in hot. Oh, man.
T-Mace is coming in hot. He left a vapor trail.
There's literally like fire tracks in here right now. I see some fire coming up.
Derek, didn't you learn that to be early is to be on time? Isn't that the old saying?
Oh, no. That's Nick Saban. Nick Saban taught him that.
Yeah.
If you're not early,
you're late. That's how it is.
That's how it is.
So there's a fine, right, for being late?
No, because the minute y'all talked and he threw it to me, I was in the seat.
I've been there.
When he threw it to me, I was ready and prepared.
I introduced you, and you weren't here.
No, when you threw it to me, bam. Was I here?
He was here.
I was here when he threw it to me. Bam. There you go.
You juggled just a little bit. It was right on the border.
It was borderline.
This is what I think we need to do. With the new time slot, and we're still getting the new traffic patterns, there needs to be a kangaroo court.
Okay.
And I feel like I am really the favorite. I'm the guy that usually is pushing it to the envelope. But I think there could be a fine. And, like, you know,
yeah.
I don't know.
25 cents.
Sodas or drinks, yeah. a round of drinks.
Exactly.
Gatorades, whatever.
Right. Yeah,
whatever beverage
Yellow
you
Gatorade.
Like.
Yes.
Yeah. For the people, you know, the person that's late's got to buy
late.
The rest
okay.
of it.
I like
Maybe
that.
Maybe that will motivate us
I
to
like that.
Leave a little bit earlier.
I like that. But, I mean, listen, when there should be some things that are illegal to do during, like, work times. And one of those things is you shouldn't try to haul a double-wide trailer during rush hour traffic because you're holding everybody up. And that's what happens on Thompson Lane right there, or Murfreesboro Pike, excuse me. It's called Murfreesboro Pike. There was a double-wide trailer that was holding up all the traffic, and no one wanted to go around it. That was my problem. Like, why doesn't anybody want to go around this double-wide truck? Nobody wanted to. Hint, traffic jam. But once you got past the double-wide truck, you know what happened? Clear sailing.
Yep.
But it took me a minute to get past the double-wide truck. So there you go.
I was going to suggest wind sprints in the parking lot.
I mean, yeah, we could if you want to. Yeah.
We'd have to video that.
Exactly. We can't do it while it's raining, though, because it's a little slick out there.
Nevertheless.
Yes.
A bit of Titans breaking news, according to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. The Titans plan to claim linebacker Brian Asamoah off waivers, per sources. The Vikings' former third-round pick was released Tuesday, now gets a fresh start in Tennessee, which is first in the claim order. So let's learn a little something about Brian Asamoah. As Jeremy Fowler said, he was a third-round pick of the Minnesota Vikings in 2022 out of Oklahoma. He played in 17 games last season for the Vikings, 0 starts. 0 sacks in his career. He had 6 combined tackles last season. So a depth piece for the Tennessee Titans. But the Tennessee Titans pick up linebacker Brian Asamoah off waivers from the Minnesota Vikings.
What I'm trying to find is he an inside linebacker or outside? You know, his stats, he's clearly a backup that they think highly of. If he's a third round pick and he has played in a lot of games, is he a special teams guy? I'm not sure what they view his role as, mm-hmm. but that's 2 Vikings they've gotten, and the Vikings are a team that was pretty good last year. I'm sure they've got numbers issues, and this is what the whole system is designed to do. When you're on the bottom and you got that first waiver claim, you've got to use it. And so hopefully they've gotten a little bit better on the margins with some of these guys they're picking up.
The Vikings say Asamoah played 23 defensive snaps and 6 special team snaps this past weekend in Minnesota's preseason opener against the Houston Texans. Of course, a third-round pick in 2022, totaled 188 defensive and 802 special team snaps over the course of 46 games. He totaled 30 tackles, including special teams, forced 2 fumbles, and recovered 1.
Well, again, like Willie said, he's the depth piece. He's not a guy that is going to drastically change, you know, their defense in any way. You hope that he can come in and provide some really good play. But judging by, you know, his short but past history, he's a depth guy that is going to be used a lot on special teams. And if he shows that, you know, he can get to the passer or whatever it is they want him to do from a defensive standpoint, then he's going to play more. But, yeah, this is a situation where it's good to have the first pick when it comes to guys being cut or released, because you can kind of sift through them. And if you need them, you can get them and try to sign them to a contract. If not, then you can move on. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, come the end of camp, that there's another 2 or 3 people. And this guy that they signed may end up getting released depending on what happens during the preseason game. So nothing is set in stone. So it's like a revolving door right now. They're trying to create competition, and they're trying to make the team better.
So welcome Brian Asamoah to the Tennessee Titans. Speaking of those Tennessee Titans, they have wrapped up joint practices with the Atlanta Falcons. Today was day 2. I heard Teron Davenport on with Chase and Big Joe. He said practice today was better for the Tennessee Titans, although, let's be honest, the bar was pretty low considering how dreadful practice went yesterday based on various reports. Nick Suss of the Tennessean has some practice observations. He writes, quote, "The first team defense stepped things up a little bit for practice number 2. The day began with a brutal red zone 7-on-7 period where the Falcons scored 3 touchdowns in 5 plays and drew 2 Titans coverage penalties along the way. But the day steadied from there, with the full defense keeping the Atlanta playmakers out of the end zone for 6 plays from the red zone and pressuring Michael Penix play after play in full field periods. This included a stretch where Arden Key recorded a sack or quarterback hurry on 4 consecutive plays, 2 of which came on simulated 3rd and long or 4th and medium situations. In the full team 2-minute drill period, the Titans gave up a couple of completions but didn't allow the Falcons to score." More from Suss. Quote, "Rookie quarterback Cam Ward's last throw was a disappointing repeat of a mistake he made in the preseason opener. Ward tried to throw the ball away under pressure and had plenty of time to get the ball out of bounds, but he didn't put enough air under the ball and left the ball in play, floating an easy interception way of cornerback D. Alford. He got away with that error in his preseason debut with the ball falling safely on the turf, but this time was a lesson. Ward and the offense had an overall okay day, with Ward making some nice throws for scores in red zone drills, but the offense mostly consisting of short throws otherwise. Even Ward's red zone touchdowns often came on plays where he threw short of the goal line and targets carried the ball in." So, yesterday, we discussed a lot of the sound bites coming out of Titans-Falcons practice, and that included Jeffrey Simmons and Jarvis Brownlee and other Titans players talking about the slow or sluggish start to day 1 of practice. Brian Callahan addressed reporters before practice today, and Gentry Estes of the Tennessean asked Callahan if he is getting what he wants out of this extended preseason road trip and whether it contributed to the sluggishness at Tuesday's practice. Here is what Brian Callahan had to say.
Getting what you wanted out of this extended road trip, and do you think that it all contributed to yesterday's practice, guys? Just great.
No, I think we're getting everything that I want out of this road trip, and I think that's part of it. There's a little bit of the adversity factor that you're trying to get comfortable with, and you're trying to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And there's going to be times in the season where you're going to look back and the feeling's going to feel familiar. And that's the idea, is to make it challenging and make it hard. Not being in our normal surroundings, not being in our own beds, all of those things is part of the process of it. And I think that part's been great. there's been some things that we got to clean up from an execution standpoint in practice. I don't necessarily attribute the practice to that, but yeah, our guys tired? Yeah, of course. And that's the idea. It's training camp. It's supposed to be hard. And I think that that's the idea of the whole trip, is that's a key component of it, is we're going to go through some hard stuff. And so that's what we're doing it now. And then you have a chance to draw upon some of these experiences as you go through hard things during the season, because inevitably every season, no matter how good your football team is, you go through challenges and you're going to go through hardships and you're going to have things that you have to overcome. And the more you can put yourself in those positions, the better off I think you're going to be in the long run. So that's, it's all a part of the process to me when it comes to being on the road and feeling like it's not, everything's not, you know, hunky-dory and we're all having a good time. Like, it's supposed to be hard.
That was Brian Callahan this morning before practice. And gentlemen, I highlight the phrase comfortable being uncomfortable. The question I have for the two of you and all of you at 615-737-1025 is, will it pay off? Willie, what do you think of Brian Callahan's goal of making the Titans comfortable being uncomfortable, starting with this 9-night preseason road trip, which according to Teresa Walker of the Associated Press is the team's longest preseason road trip since moving to Tennessee?
I think, A, this is in the context of a team that is lacking talent, right? They don't have the horses. They're not a veteran team that you know what you're getting. You're trying to build a culture. You're trying to build an identity. You're looking for young players to rise up. And so, therefore, I like the idea that he's making it tough on them. He wants to make it tough on them every day. And, therefore, he's willing to have some practices that look ugly. This is my interpretation of what he's saying. D-Mace and I talked about this while you were on vacation, Adam, when Cam Ward was having some very rough-looking practices. But if you look a little closer, both Jeremy Fowler and now Albert Breer have gotten this from Brian Callahan, that they're purposely making it hard on Cam Ward. They're trying to make it tougher than it's going to be in the games. And I hope that that's a little bit what he's talking about, comfortable being uncomfortable. He's trying to push them. And because of that, D-Mace, I can think back to some experiences. For me, it would be when I was a freshman at Vanderbilt basketball and we were going through the preseason practice. I really had never practiced at that intensity and that speed and that level, and it took a while. And there were some days where my body wasn't feeling real good and my mind was not in a great place confidence-wise, but eventually you get better. And to me, that's what the preseason is for. I don't know that this is going to mean, hey, they're going to come through and be a great team, but I definitely understand this stage of training camp could be tough on a day-to-day, and I think it's purposely tough.
Yeah, it's all strategic when you start camp and what you want to put your players through, especially a team like the Titans that have a bunch of new faces, some young faces, a second-year coach. He saw things that he did last year that he wanted to change this year, and I think one of them was, and it was evident, he wants this team to be a closer team. He wants this to be a family feel. And he talked about, you know, going, you know, when you leave, it's just y'all, you and the team. And, you know, there's a bond that is built when y'all are together in, you know, 100-degree heat and your body. Because everybody now, we're all on the same plane here. And typically what happens is you start to revolt a little bit against the coach. The coach don't mind. He does it. He's trying to create friction. And so y'all can work it out, because that's what happens in a game. There's friction created in games, whether you may, you know, have a sudden turnover and now your defense has to run out there and you got to trust the guys that are running on the field with you. The only way you build that trust is through what they're doing now. All of this, you know, again, people laughed at this, stuff like this, you know, whether what Brian was doing during the offseason, they laughed at it. But until you're a head coach and you're in that position, you don't know what it's going to take to get your team together. Whatever he tried last year obviously didn't work. So now he's trying a new method. Hopefully it works. It seemed like guys are responding to it in their own ways. But when a coach does something like this, They're doing it for a reason. They want to create an environment that you just can't sit back and be comfortable in. And that's the responsibility of the head coach. He's right. I got to make these guys feel uncomfortable in a comfortable position, because when it's the fourth quarter and we're down 8 points and we just scored a touchdown and we need to score that 2 point or we need to stop them, I got to know that y'all are built for this. I got to know this is an uncomfortable position we're in. But damn it, we're going to get it done. Last year, they were in so many uncomfortable positions. Ask the defense. They'll tell you, look at the Detroit game. They were in an uncomfortable position the minute that game started. And they didn't. They folded. The defense folded. They couldn't hold up. So what you're trying to do now is create some of those situations so you then can see how your team reacts. Because you can only know how your team reacts is if you put them in that situation. That's the only way you're going to know if they're going to, persevere through it or not. And he's trying to put them in as many uncomfortable positions as he possibly can. And he's doing the right thing.
What are some examples of that from your career?
My career was consistent days in practice. Like when John Harbaugh got there, it was like he ran us in the dirt. Now, granted, love Belichick. Love Belichick. He was a Super Bowl winning coach. When I got there, he's a player's coach. You could sit down in his office with him and talk for hours if you wanted to. But that last couple of years, things got laxed, So John had to come in, and John had to stake his claim. This is my team. So the practices that we had, man, they were grueling. And guys were getting little nicks here and there, but yet still he was pushing us through. He didn't let up. You know what he was setting up? What if one of those guys go down in a game? Are you going to be ready for it? Because I'm not stopping practice because this guy went down. I'm going to keep practice going. I understand he'll get healthy. We're not worried about that. But if that comes up in a game and you haven't been through it, I can't expect you to persevere. I can't expect you to go through it and be successful. Why? Because I've never put you in that position. Well, John put us in those positions when he first became coach, and we made it to the AFC Championship because of the things that he put us through at the beginning of the season.
I think too, we have to remember that because of their talent level, there are going to be practices, even when they're feeling great and not sluggish, where they're going to be outplayed, at least to some degree. Mm-hmm. I don't think we should be – you mentioned this yesterday – you kind of asked, should we be surprised that they haven't done particularly well in these practices? They are coming off being, the last place team in the league with a rookie quarterback and not a roster that looks like it's patched up with all kinds of improvements, right? They've got a lot of young players they're trying to give a chance to, so they're going to be some tough days. And on top of that, I think he's trying to push them physically and try to build, a foundation that's going to pay dividends as they go through the tough times here. Supposedly it did get better today, right?
I think we
said at the end of the show yesterday, mm-hmm. we wanted to see a response mm-hmm. to what I think even the players were saying wasn't a great practice. Mm-hmm. And I think they felt better about it today. Not that it was perfect, mm-hmm. but it was better.
It doesn't have – no practice is ever perfect. It's not. Unless the coach set it up for you to complete every pass
right.
and score a touchdown on every play you run in practice. Even when you're in a season scout team, it's still not perfect. So every practice isn't perfect. But what you try to do is when you come out on a day that you're sluggish or just doesn't seem like the team has it, you're not so much worried about that day because you're in it. It's how is my team going to show up tomorrow? That's going to be the sign for me how my team shows up tomorrow. I don't care how soft their damn beds is. I don't care how soft their rags are that they wash up with. I don't care if they got air conditioner in their hotel. I don't care if their television in a hotel has a million channels and they're bringing them grapes every hour on the hour. When your body is tired, damn it, your body is tired.
615-737-1025. By the way, when it comes to handling adversity, you know what they say? Without ash to rise from, the phoenix would just be a bird getting up. 615-737-1025. Derek touched on something there that I want to touch on next, because there is something that I have read and heard from multiple people affiliated with this station that I want Derek to address. And we will do that next. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian Callahan's goal is to make the Titans comfortable being uncomfortable. Will it pay off? You let us know. 615-737-1025. Later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on Durham. First pitch is at 5:35, I should say. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. This week's Nashville's best deal is Fat Bottom Brewing Company. Join Fat Bottom this Saturday for their Lucky 13 anniversary party at 844th Avenue North in Nashville. It's a full day of casino-themed fun, live tattoos from Black 13, face painting, a balloon art game, and, of course, ice-cold beer. Get a $100 gift card half off while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Plus, don't miss their Lucky 13 anniversary party this Saturday at Fat Bottom Brewing Company. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingen here with you, talking about Brian Callahan's goal of wanting the Titans to be comfortable being uncomfortable and whether it will pay off. And I want Derek to address something I have read and heard from multiple people affiliated with this station. I heard Chase and Big Joe discussing it earlier today. Paul Kaharsky tweeted about it, and I am going to quote Kaharsky's tweet here. Quote, Titans road trip exhaustion storyline is way overrated. Exhausted from staying at luxury hotel / winery? Oh, the misery. Play better today. End quote. Now, this is a popular criticism when a team struggles and complains about their road trip or something along those lines, because they're flying charter jets. They are staying in the finest hotels in every city they play in. They are catered to and pampered every step of the way. How can they possibly be exhausted? They're not flying coach. They're not staying at a Holiday Inn Express. So they have no excuse to be tired. I want to talk to the former All-Pro receiver, Derek. This is your opportunity to respond.
Well, I mean, I'm just going to be frank. You haven't been through it, so you don't know what it's like. I can leave it at that. Any one of them that put it, you haven't been through it, you don't know what it's like. You can watch it from afar. Somebody can tell you. But until you experience, you don't have a damn clue of what it's about. Just like I don't have a clue what it's about when you're doing your job and, you know, it may be tough. I can't tell you that, oh, just get over it. You got this, you got that. I can't say that. Why? Because I'm not in your position. I don't know how you feel. I don't know how you feel emotionally. I don't know how you feel physically. So I know what it is. It's like, oh, they are the pampered athlete. So,
first world problems.
Yeah, first. And I get it. I understand it. But the last I check, I don't care if you're staying in a five-star hotel or not. If your body's tired and beat up, it's tired and beat up. Okay? And last time I checked, just because you have a what people think first class seats, I want to tell people, every seat on the plane, they fly the same planes that y'all get on every day. They fly on those type of planes where there is a section for first class individuals, and usually those people that are in those seats are either the coaches or some veteran players. But everybody else got to ride in the same seat y'all ride in. So don't think that, oh, it's not basketball where the plane is made for 6-7 guys. So everybody gets to stretch out. There's only 15 of them. So they got a bunch of room. It's not like that. The same small little seats you sit in on a regular day when you're flying, it's the same seats they're sitting in. So how different is that? The same hotel, it may be a little bit nicer, but a bed is a bed to them when their body's hurt. Guys will sleep on the floor when they're tired. I've seen many of them do it in the locker room. So they don't have plush things in the locker room. I was in Westminster, Baltimore at the college. Nice college, but their locker room was horrible. And their hotel that was there was a one-star hotel. One star. We stayed there. Our bodies were tired. We had to get up the next morning and do it over and over and over again. And sometimes, just sometimes, our bodies got to a point where it's like, damn, I'm trying to push it, but I can't. I'm just tired. Y'all try running for 2 hours in the heat with pads on. I know they get paid well. I get it. It's all relative. I get they get paid well. But that doesn't sort of, that doesn't eliminate how their body feel just because they got money. That money ain't doing nothing for them out there on the field. Their muscles don't know that they got $1 million in the bank. It don't care. Their muscles are telling them, I'm tired. Sit your butt down. But they got to push through. And it's taxing on them. I'm not giving them an excuse. I'm just telling you the facts.
I think that's
no excuse whatsoever.
I think that's the point that I would like to emphasize is Brian Callahan and the players are more or less just, they're answering the questions.
Exactly.
Right? They had a bad practice, and they're trying to reason and talk about it. But the process of training camp is designed to push you to where you are. If you're not a little bit fatigued, a little sore, you're probably not going very hard, right? The practices aren't very intense. If the practices are as intense as they would like to have you believe, right, and that's what Brian Callahan is saying, we want you to be comfortable being uncomfortable. I'm going to push you. I'm going to put you in adverse situations. He's definitely had that mindset with Cam Ward. Look at what Albert Breer wrote about the design of the practices to try to put him in a tough position. So that's the thing. But there's a difference in just stating the nature of training camp, which is what D-Mace is doing, and making excuses for the team, right? That's what I'm sure we'll have a text on the text line. And go ahead and say it. 615-737-1025. Willie, you're just making excuses for the team.
Oh, they're already on there.
Right.
Don't worry.
No, I knew it. I didn't even look. But that is not an excuse. As D-Mace is saying, that is the reality of training camp. They're not a great football team. They're not a super talented football team. They're getting beat because, A, they're going through the process, and, B, they're not very talented. But they're not. The last thing they're going to do is make an excuse. I'll give you another example of the first world problems, right? When an NHL hockey team, and all 32 teams do this, the Predators are no different than any other team. So this is not to make an excuse for any particular team. But when you have a back-to-back game and you fly and you get on a plane and you've just, you know, gone at it in a major league game for 60 minutes, you recover, you eat, you get on the plane, you got to fly to the next city, and you got to play the next night, and the team you play hasn't played for a couple of days, you're at a disadvantage. But the last thing anybody is ever going to say is, hey, you know, we traveled last night. I mean, they don't like to use that because they know people are going to say, you're just making excuses. But that is reality. It is tough to be that team. And the Titans did travel from their preseason game. And as you mentioned yesterday, the Falcons were home, and there was probably a little bit of built-in advantage for that first practice.
What I've come to understand, this is why I should have just left it as, if you've never been, you don't know what it's like, so I'm just going to leave it as that. But here's what I really understand. Nobody cares. They don't care. The fans don't care. They know. They will tell you how tough these guys is, and I can do their job and grueling and all this stuff. But then when you ask a question on why was your team so sluggish, or why was the guy seem to be so sluggish, and they tell you, like, hey, listen, this is what has happened. You know, we want to come out better tomorrow. It's not an excuse. It's facts. Don't excuse facts with an excuse, okay? Don't excuse that. Facts are facts. It's not an excuse. If it's happening or it happened, it's the fact that it's a fact. I'm not trying to make an excuse for what the Titans did or how they played or how they practiced the other day. What I like, again, and we talked about in the first segment, this practice was much better than yesterday's practice. That tells me they were just tired, man.
I do not recall, and correct me if I'm wrong, Willie and Derek, or texters, I do not recall any member of the Titans specifically stating, unprompted, key word, unprompted, that the low energy in practice was because of the long road trip. The clip we played from Brian Callahan a little bit ago, Gentry Estes of the Tennessean asked Brian Callahan, are you getting what you want out of this long road trip, and is it contributing to the lack of energy at practice, or did it contribute to the lack of energy at practice? It was a question that Brian Callahan was asked, and he answered it. It wasn't a comment that he made, again, unprompted. I just want to put that out there.
And I think this is where some coaches understand how that question is aimed and will make sure they give an answer that doesn't give you a chance to put that down because they don't want to be mistaken for somebody trying to make excuses. And I do think Callahan is still learning that part of it. But remember this, too. The very first question this morning had to do with sluggishness, et cetera, and he did not use the sluggishness as an excuse. He basically came out of the gate and said, I think sometimes if your first few plays don't go well, you say, well, we're kind of sluggish. We're, you know, when you just didn't get it done. If the first two plays had gone well, hey, we're off to a great start. So I think he's trying not to use anything as an excuse. Most players and coaches know that portraying that to the media is going to backfire on you every time.
But it's how Estes...
Even if it's true.
Yeah, it's true. But it's how Estes phrased the question, which in turn he had to answer it by throwing it, hey, we traveled. This I'm trying to make it as hard as possible. He has to throw all of this.
Right.
But then
it's only by thing, design. Only that thing is the
people,
process.
Exactly. Only thing people pick out is, oh, they're whining and they're tired and, you know, they're just a bunch of pampered, you know, pro athletes. It's hard. And what I am finding out more and more each day is that it's hard to try to tell somebody or try to explain to someone that hasn't been a part of it why it's going the way it goes.
Yes, especially when the program hasn't had success.
Exactly.
When they haven't had success. So everybody's questioning everything that you do.
And you can see, y'all see that the Titans, if this was a season and they had to play back-to-back games like this, y'all would be making up the excuse for them. Well, they just played a game Sunday and they got to play one Thursday. Their body's tired. Y'all would make up that excuse. Y'all would give it to them right away. Especially if you saw how the team came out. Y'all, oh, they played Sunday. They played a tough game Sunday. And they got to come back Thursday. You know why I say y'all would say that? Because y'all said it before. Even in a loss when Vrabel was here. Oh, they played Sunday. They came back. That team was tired. So what's the difference? Why didn't you say they were pampered athletes then? And they stay in five-star hotels and this and that. That's the part that I get irritated about. Because that's low-hanging fruit. It's easy to throw it out there. And then everybody picks it up and everybody starts to run with it.
615-737-1025. Your reaction to what Derek had to say. We already have a lot in our text line. We request more. You can call us as well. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also coming up next, Brian Callahan discussed how Cam Ward has been handling adversity so far in training camp. We'll discuss that as well. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.
Brian, how have you seen Cam continue to handle, like, when things don't go his way on the field, like whether it was the practice yesterday, the first drive in the preseason game against Tampa? How have you seen him continue to handle that, and I guess how would you like him to respond today?
I think he's handled the adversities of being a young player pretty well. There's always going to be ups and downs. There's going to be days where you perform well. There's going to be periods that are better than others. And you have to learn how to deal with that because that's how the season goes. There's going to be drives in a game that are good. There's going to be drives in a game that you don't get anything out of. And how you come back for the next one, I think, is really important. And he's shown the ability to bounce back and come back and find ways to perform well. I think the Tampa game is a great example of you go three and out to start and – you come back and you lead a touchdown drive. You know, that's what you hope for. That's what you're looking for from just the response element of it. And he's very prideful. He wants to perform well all the time, and he's learning how to play NFL football. And those moments where it gets hard is where I'm trying to put him in as many of those moments as possible, because they're coming. Whether you prepare him now or you let him do it later, they're all coming. And I think he's in a better place, having dealt with all the things he's had to deal with over the course of camp, and he's going to continue to get better.
That was Brian Callahan this morning on Cam Ward. By the way, the Titans have officially announced that they have been awarded linebacker Brian Asamoah off waivers from the Minnesota Vikings. The Titans waived linebacker Otis Reese to make room for Asamoah. So long, Otis Reese. Hello, Brian Asamoah.
So that, I believe, is the same position, inside linebacker in the 3-4. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of opportunity, shall we say. I use land of opportunity for the wide receivers, but really it's it's really every position group. And so they believe Asamoah, maybe coming from the Vikings, who are kind of a stacked defense, where he was not playing a lot, right? He didn't start anyway. He had a role. Maybe he could have a bigger role, and he's an upgrade on Reese. But it's also another draft pick, a recent draft pick that the Titans have had that has not turned into anything.
Here's a text from Brian on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, that I want to discuss. He says, a great discussion that you're having and answering many questions about the effort. But one question I still have in regards to effort. Hasn't it been an issue since day one, before the travel started this offseason? We were talking about this during the break, guys. Sometimes people conflate effort with talent. The Titans can put forth their best effort, and it still won't look good because they're not a good football team. So the Titans can put together maximum effort, and compared to better teams, it still may not look good because the Titans are devoid, bereft, what other fancy word you want to use, of talent. So I do think that sometimes people conflate the two, effort and talent.
Yeah, and the Titans are trying to stack talent, which they don't have. The effort, that's, you know, up to Callahan and the players to decide how that go. Now, going back to that text, the texter is right from this standpoint, because we did talk about early, there just wasn't no energy. Especially I brought it up because it was the first day of practice. Like, man, usually when the first day of practice, man, it just seems like the energy should be higher. And it wasn't. I said what I had to say and moved on. It seemed like it got better after that. You know, so this team, again, it's not, I don't believe, a lack of effort, because I can't, if I'm not out there talking to each man, I can't tell you whether there's a lack of effort. I can assume by watching film that, oh, he didn't run to the ball, or he didn't do this, or he didn't, you know, stretch out for the catch. I can assume that that's a lack of effort, but until I talk to the guy, I don't know. But again, these guys have two things sort of going against them right now. You know, the other day, let's just say the other day. One, we've already talked about it. This is not a good team from top to bottom. They don't have the talent that they need to consistently compete and win games. I hope they get there. I believe they will. But when you don't have as much talent, sometimes no matter how hard you're going, it may just look a certain way for that day. And the Titans have had their days. Frankly, yesterday was one of them. But then they came back today and did what? It seemed like it was better today. So I get everybody wanting to sort of, you know, pounce on the Titans. I understand that. Listen, you're not winning games. You got to get it straight. But to throw out, I think, the narrative of, you know, a bunch of high-priced, high-paid, you know, sport athletes, they should be able to come out to practice and have a, you know, inspired, energy-filled practice every game, that's really unrealistic. It is. Again, it's hard to tell individuals that because they haven't been through it. You haven't even been through an ounce of what they've been through. So it's hard for you to sort of relate or empathize. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think that when you throw stuff out like that, man, it's just like, you know everything they're going through. It's, and it's not overblown. And it, it wasn't like Callahan overblew or overblown them traveling. He just answered a question that was asked of his team, about his team. He understands it. Him more than anybody understands because he's putting his team through it. They didn't have to go from Tampa to Atlanta. They didn't have to do that. They could have came back home, rested a couple of days, and then went up there and practiced with Tampa for a day, and Atlanta for a day. Well, Tampa now. Which one is it? Atlanta now.
Atlanta Tampa for a day. To Atlanta.
Yeah. Tampa, Atlanta now. And they could have just practiced one day and then played the game. That would have been fine. But that's not what he's trying to put this team through. So if you know this team hasn't been through this before, what was the stat again? This is the longest preseason sort of like trip.
Teresa Walker of the Associated Press, before the Titans left for Tampa, wrote a story that this is the longest preseason road trip for the Titans since moving to Tennessee.
I would dare, and again, I say this all while saying, and I've said before, like I tell my son, I don't care about everybody in your class. I care about you. But I guarantee you that if you go throughout this league and you see, you watch teams, and if they go to practice against another team and they're there for a while, I guarantee you that first practice is sluggish with the team that's coming in. I guarantee you, especially if they've already played a preseason game, I will guarantee you that that first practice they practice with that other team, they are sluggish. I want to see how they come out the next practice. The Titans came out the next practice, which was today, and from what we are reading, they did better than it was yesterday. And I hope that, do they practice tomorrow or they're off tomorrow?
They're off tomorrow. They play on Friday.
So you hope that Friday looks better than it did last Saturday. That's all you can hope.
It's a process. Yeah. And that's what Brian Callahan is referring to when he says, I want them to become comfortable being uncomfortable. You go through a process. It's, some days are going to look better than others, but what you're trying to come out of there with is an identity on a young team that is thin on talent. What it, the vocab word you used?
Bereft.
Bereft of talent.
Bereft would be like no talent, right? I guess they have a little bit of talent, but they're very short.
Bereft means deprived of or lacking something.
Yes, they're lacking. Yes. They're lacking. So I think that is the important thing here. I don't think I see a collective bad effort. Now, on a team of 85 guys or how many are in there, you can go through a film session on any team. I don't care if they were 12-5 last year or 5-12, and there will be individuals where you'll look at the film and say, yeah, that guy's dogging it today, right? Every team has got that. But collectively, I think – just about every NFL team to get to the level that they're at knows that they're working as hard as they can work every day, unless they are getting by completely on talent. And we know that's not the case with the Titans. But you're looking for an identity. You're looking for leaders to emerge. You're hoping to find some diamonds in the rough, especially with the young players that you can start building around.
Quickly, before we get to Richard Deitch of The Athletic at 4 o'clock, one texter says, the problem I have with the Titans, excuse of being too tired from the road trip, is all the other teams go on road trips too. It seems like the loser teams make the excuse. I doubt we hear that from the Eagles, Ravens, etc. The good teams work hard. That's from Dave.
Again.
The Cowboys are not on the road.
The question was asked of Brian Callahan, and he answered the question. You don't know what John Harbaugh would say. You don't know what Stefanski would say. Is that?
Sirianni.
I said Stefanski. Sirianni, he's
you have the
Cleveland.
Vikings on the brain.
Yeah, Vikings, yes. You don't know what he would say if his team traveled after playing a preseason game.
And how many teams
at
go
night
on,
and then travel and have to practice 2 days later against another team?
I don't know the answer to this. I know that when teams go to Europe, for example, they'll stay there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't play the game, fly back, and then fly back over to Europe again. But how many teams go on week-and-a-half-long preseason road trips? I don't know how common that is around the NFL.
Listen, I don't think it's too common. I'm sure teams have done it. But it's the same thing. Why do you think teams, when they're playing out on the West Coast, why do you think teams leave 2 days early? Why do you think teams leave, majority of the teams leave on a Friday rather than a Saturday? Because they understand that time is real and it does something to your body, okay? That's why when you leave, when these guys go off to your, you know, London and stuff like that, they're leaving early. Why? They're not it's a 7 hour. They're not leaving 2 days before they got to play a game.
A week, right?
They're leaving a week before. And it may even be mandatory that you leave a certain amount of days before the actual game. Why? Because that time change, being on that plane, that takes – again, I didn't even think about that.
Now, there is a difference between flying from the United States to Europe versus flying from Nashville to Atlanta,
which is
roughly 45 minutes.
I get that. But there are reasons.
But it was Tampa to Atlanta.
Yeah, Tampa to Atlanta.
Oh,
so like an hour and, yeah, an hour and 10 minutes.
It might have been closer, yes.
Fair. But fair enough.
But yet and still, there's a reason why people wear, you know, certain socks and stuff on planes. Because once you get up to that altitude, it does something to your body physically. And then you got to come out of it. Then you got to go play a game or practice. You got to go out there and practice for 2 hours. Until you've been through it, I'm going to say this, and please, no offense to anybody because I love you all, but until you've been in it, shut the hell up about it. I'm not being mean to anyone. I'm not, because
you're
hell,
just
I
sharing
like,
your
I like
experience.
Everybody. I like
you're
every,
just sharing your experience,
exactly, especially the people that work here and the people that do work here around town. Love them all.
You have a unique
reporters,
perspective.
Everybody
that
yes.
most of us don't.
Exactly. So my thing is, until you've been in, at least from that standpoint, like, oh, they should be, and whoever's saying it, maybe you would not want to say that anymore.
I
until
prefer.
You actually strap on those pads. Practice for 2 hours, go in the training room, getting nice and rubbed down, getting the cold tub, hot tub, and then hop on a plane, and then we're going to ask that you, whoever you are, boy or girl, we don't ask you to go out there to practice a day later. Matter of fact, we're going to give you 2 days. We're going to give you 2 or 3 days to rest and see how you feel.
I prefer shut the hell up. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, Richard Deitch, the Athletics media reporter, will join us. A lot happening in the world of sports media. Of course, the ESPN NFL deal, a huge deal between UFC and Paramount Plus, WWE. Lots of stuff going on in sports media. We will discuss that with Richard Deitch of the Athletic. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.